Este podcast es una presentación de UCTV.tv, la televisión de la Universidad de California. ¿Te gusta lo que aprendes? Ayuda a otras personas a descubrir los podcasts de UCTV. Deja un comentario o una calificación en tu aplicación de podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Mi Camino series, where we explore the career trajectories and lives of our successful alumni. Today we have Liz Ramirez here with us, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Chicano Federation. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're so glad you could join us. To start with, I think our listeners would be very curious to know a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your family, where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up in the border between Imperial Valley and Mexicali. I was in Mexicali till I was 4 years old, almost five, moved to the United States to El Centro and grew up there, went to school there. So I, you know, was raised with immigrant parents. I was first generation immigrant. First-generation college student. I'm very, very proud to grow up in the small city of El Centro, very strong community roots. I have a wonderful and very big family. I have, my two brothers and my mom and my dad who, you know, have always been so passionate about education, but they never got the opportunity to go to college themselves. They actually didn't even get to graduate from high school traditionally. And so for them, it was a great gift that I was able to make it to UCSD and graduate.
Well, I'm sure your parents are incredibly proud of you today and always. How about you share a little bit about what was school like for you in Imperial Valley?
I was always a great student in Imperial Valley. I went all the way through high school. But it was hard because there was very few resources there, right? Especially, you know, few resources to get me prepared for college and the university, especially such a prestigious university like UCSD. And so, you know, my high school years, I remember, you know, struggling, needing to take the bus to another high school to take AP courses because my high school did not offer, you know, many AP courses. That has now changed, right? There's now more opportunities. But when I was growing up, it was hard, and it was hard not knowing what you don't know, right? So seeking resources was always tough. But I knew that, and my parents taught me from a very, you know, early age that in order to break barriers, I needed an education, right? And so I'm like, I am going to connect with folks to really, you know, make my dream of going to college possible. So I remember, you know, being in high school and having to really fight to see my counselor. They were super overloaded. And I think because I was a good student, had very minimal touch with my assigned counselor. But I remember connecting with a counselor that was specific for the migrant program. And because, you know, my family does come from, farm workers, and my grandparents were braceros, and that's how my family immigrated, I was part of the program. And it was really her that helped me, you know, when it came to financial aid and scholarships. She connected me with Cosmos, so I got to experience, you know, UC Irvine before as a sophomore or junior. And so that's really how I was able to get to the university, right?
So it sounds like you had an opportunity to learn about UC Irvine and UC San Diego. Mm-hmm. Were you able to visit the campus as a high school student?
I actually did not visit the campus as a high school student. So I was in a little bit of a shock when I got here. I think I came the first time was with orientation, right? And, you know, you think about it, El Centro is just 2 hours away. But for me, you know, growing up in Imperial Valley, it did seem like a whole different world. Right. I remember making the visit first to UC San Diego and passing by downtown and looking at all of the buildings and looking around and being like, wow, I'm going to live here. Right. So unfortunately, I didn't get to, you know, see the campus, but I, you know, saw photos, I saw how beautiful it was. It was relatively close to home, only 2 hours away from home. So that to me was really important. And of course, you know, UC San Diego had such a great great reputation of, you know, academic excellence and the wonderful professors teaching here that for me, it was like, I have to go there.
So was it because we were close? Was that the main reason you
chose?
That
was the main reason, yeah. So I knew that I wanted to leave to go to a four-year, at the time, the community college didn't have a lot of resources. And so I knew for a fact that I wanted to go to a four-year. UCSD was one of the closest ones. So I think that was definitely my first factor. Because I was so close to my family, it was important for me to still stay close enough to them.
Yeah, and that's an important consideration. I know that a lot of our incoming Latino students, they take that into consideration.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's great that San Diego and Imperial County have a premier institution in our backyard that they can attend.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what was it like when you told your family that you got into UC San Diego and you had chosen to enroll here?
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of mixed emotions because, like I mentioned before, my parents were always, you know, big advocates about education. But when I started getting the big envelopes, they started getting a little bit nervous. I'm, you know, the oldest of three. I'm the only woman, right? So for them, it was like their little girl, you know, is leaving. And I think, you know, the Latino community, traditionally, you know, you leave the home when, you know, you're getting married, not when you're 18 to go to college, right? And so to my surprise, my dad, you know, took it really hard. And I think at the end of the day, he just wanted to protect me, right? But he did not give me his blessing right away. And so he's like, no, I don't want you to go. I want you to stay here, stay at the community college. But luckily, my mom, you know, she kind of fought back and helped me. I had worked all through high school. And so I was able to take my savings and with the support of my mom, you know, come to UC San Diego. But because my dad hadn't given me his blessing, I actually ended up enrolling a little bit late. I didn't get on campus housing, so I lived off campus. So it really made it really difficult for me. You know, like I mentioned, family to me is key. And I was going against my dad, and that to me was huge. But I knew how important education was for me and that I needed to somehow make it work. And so I really struggled, you know, especially that first year and the first quarter. You know, I remember crying a lot and, you know, just feeling like I didn't have that family support. One, you know, I really didn't want to share how much I was struggling, right? Because I didn't want to my dad to say, I told you so, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But two, I knew that if I told him, they would also worry a lot about me, right? And so I internalized a lot of it. And you know, maybe some of the students watching can relate. But I had a really hard time because of that. You know, my first year, I felt really alone. Right. And that is really what kind of was the key pivotal to me when I was struggling academically that I said, you know, I need to reach out for help because I can't do it alone.
Yeah. And, you know, your story of a father, especially with a young woman going far away from home. I've heard that story before and it's difficult. I think the parents feel like, you know, is their child going to be okay? Are they going to be safe?
Right.
And I can imagine that must have been an incredible struggle for you to reconcile going against your father's wishes for you not to come to UC San Diego.
Right.
Can we talk a little bit more about that? Like, eventually, I imagine you reconciled with your father?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, while it took him a while, a few quarters later, I would go home and he would make me pollito asado and for me to bring back. And he was really, really supportive. And at the end of the day, you know, I think he saw the great value. He saw that I built a great community and, you know, in UC San Diego. And so he eventually came on board. I think it was just for him, you know, letting go of his daughter, and he was scared. Right. And him not experiencing, you know, leaving for college himself. I think at the end of the day, he just wanted to protect me. Right. Mm-hmm. But yes, he ended up coming around and my dad, I know, is so, so proud.
That's what I was going to say. I imagine he was secretly proud of you.
Right.
And simultaneously concerned about you.
Right.
And sharing the pride comes a little bit later when they know that you're doing okay.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So can we talk a little bit more about your first quarter and your first year? You know, you didn't live on campus, which of course makes it a little bit more difficult to find community. What was the pivot point for you where all of a sudden there was probably something snapped into place where the struggle started to lessen and you started to feel like you belonged here and you were doing better academically?
Yeah. I mean, I think my first quarter was when I, you know, had it really rough. You know, I mentioned that I came from a high school with low resources. So I came in having to take remedial math, remedial English. And I did feel like, do I even belong here? You know, I felt like folks don't look like me. Am I even supposed to be here? I had a lot of that imposter phenomenon. You know, feelings come up. But, you know, I was like, no, I'm here for a reason and I can do this. And it was really connecting with programs like OASIS. I think OASIS for me really changed the trajectory of my education and my career. You know, I found a space where, you know, I felt like I wasn't alone, right? I connected with other students. I, you know, formed mentorships. I, you know, went into tutoring and really that helped, you know, build my sense of community and my network here at UC San Diego. And that's what helped me ultimately be, you know, successful. I think it was once I realized that I can't do this, you know, by myself, that I need support, I need my family, right, here on campus, you know, my trajectory really, really changed. And so it was connecting with, you know, those students that were older, that had been through, you know, things that I've been through. It was connecting with those mentors and those professors that really helped me, you know, get more plugged in with the university and feel like there was other folks that wanted to see me succeed and that had my back and that were going to support me and lend a hand when needed.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you're being really honest and transparent about, you know, coming from an under-resourced community, which has under-resourced schools.
Right.
And there is that disparity gap. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a common experience for many of our first-generation students. And I think it's important for them to hear that, you know, they do belong here. They're super intelligent.
Right.
They just had a different K through 12 experience.
Right.
And so there's sometimes a little bit of catch-up.
Exactly.
And that catch-up doesn't mean that you're not smart, that you can't be successful.
Right.
I mean, here you are, chief executive officer of one of the largest CBOs in San Diego County.
Yeah.
And so I'm so glad that you could be here and share that. I also was wondering if you might be able to share a little bit about mentorship. You've mentioned that you've had some colleagues who are mentors, like older students and faculty who were mentors. Maybe there's one or two that stand out in your memory that you'd like to talk a little about?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, right, mentors that I've connected over the last, you know, few years. But I think one of the biggest mentors that I had, it was when I was connected with my first job at UC San Diego. So I, you know, was able to get work study. I worked with CalSOAP, California Student Opportunity and Access Program. Linda Dowdy was the director there, and she was wonderful and great support. But she also connected me with other folks. I knew that I wanted to be in a serving field. I was very interested in education and counseling. And so she connected me with Julio Soto. Julio Soto is a financial aid counselor. And I remember first connecting with him, you know, through work study. And I was 18 years old. And I saw the way that he connected with families. And I remember thinking, I want to be like him when I grow up, right? Just like how connected he was with community. And so, yeah, we first linked up when I was 18. And I remember saying, you know, will you have a cafecito with me? You know, I want to pick your brain. You know, I want to, you know, learn how you got to your career, right? That's something that I'm looking to do. And our relationship has really transformed throughout the years. He still, you know, we're still connected. He'll laugh if I'll say that he's my mentor still, because he's like, no, we're friends. What are you talking about? But that to me is a relationship that really stands out, that I'm so grateful that, you know, because of work study, I was able to, you know, be paired up with a job that I really enjoyed, where I felt like I was making an impact. I was working directly with schools like my high school, you know, but here in San Diego, that, you know, we're under-resourced, and I was connecting with students and trying to help them navigate the college access. And so that to me, you know, was a wonderful experience and has really led me to my career today.
I'm so much good can come over cafecito, right?
Yes.
You know, I'm glad you said that you asked him, because I think that's really important for our young listeners to hear, mm-hmm. is that, you know, we want to help the staff right. and faculty that are right. here at San Diego. We want to help. And we're not going to go around and say, I'm going to be your mentor.
Right.
Right. It really, good mentorship comes from young people saying, right. hey, can I talk to you? Right. Can I ask you some questions? So right. so thank you for right. sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, mentorship is key. You know, like I said, my parents didn't go to college, and I don't have tios or tias that, you know, that social capital, right, is missing from my family. But it was connecting with other folks that have already been through what I've been through, or already in the career in the field, and yeah, don't be afraid to ask and say, hey, you know, can I borrow you for 30 minutes, a cafecito, just to pick your brain. And actually, you know, now that I'm, you know, in my career, I've had folks come up to me and say, hey, can you share 30 minutes of your time? And to me, that's so flattering. And a lot of times I get so much more out of, you know, mentoring probably than my mentee. But yes, I'm very passionate about, you know, mentorship.
And it sounds like your mentor really impacted your career choices right. as well. Right. Maybe you could share a little bit about your career trajectory, and then tell us more about what you're doing right now with the Chicano Federation.
Yeah. So after UC San Diego, I went on to get my master's in school counseling. You know, I really wanted to help other students like myself, first generation students, have access to, you know, great schools like UC San Diego. So I started working in the schools, and then very quickly got connected with the nonprofit sector. And that to me, it was about connecting with community, right? And I love the work. So I started off with working in the education field, working with students that were struggling academically, working with families, getting them access to resources as well. And then I, you know, moved my first nonprofit. I was there for 8 years. SBCS is the name of the nonprofit that I work for. Had wonderful coaches and mentors there. Had 5 different roles within the 8 years that I was there. And I remember, you know, always going to one of my supervisors, Mauricio Torre, and saying, okay, what's next? What can we do next? How can I help? You know? And so it was, you know, him and along with others giving me that, you know, trust and confidence as a leader that really helped, you know, built me up. And really, you know, I'm all about equity and access for our families, particularly our families of color. And so that's how I, you know, grew in the nonprofit sector. From SBCS, I went to another nonprofit that serves foster youth in San Diego County. I worked there for 3 years. And again, it was like, what's next? And I remember, you know, having a conversation with my CEO, and she said, okay, Liz, I want to talk to you about, you know, what's next in this organization. And I already came with a new job description and what I wanted to do. And she was like, oh, you were prepared for this. But yeah, I my passion has always been working with community. I'm now the new CEO for Chicano Federation. Chicano Federation has been around for 53 years. So it's a strong pillar in the San Diego community. We serve with, you know, affordable housing, child development, business development, and advocacy. Advocacy. It's a wonderful, wonderful organization that was started in the middle of the civil rights movement, which led to the Chicano movement really, you know, fighting for the rights of the Latino community. Since then, we have expanded and we serve, you know, everyone in San Diego County, but I'm very, very proud to lead such a strong organization. I will tell you, Frank, that, you know, I didn't think I was ready, right? I felt like I was too young, but I had multiple mentors reach out to me and community members that said, hey, have you thought about applying for this position, right? And it was, you know, not the first person, not the second person, the third person that I was like, okay, maybe I'll give it a try. But I think that's why it's so important to connect with, you know, with mentors and other folks that can guide you, because sometimes they see things in you that you don't yet recognize in yourself, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a very common phenomena for our young scholars, is that they don't see the brilliance and the capability that they have. And it takes a mentor or another person to point it out a couple of times.
Right.
So I'm glad that you followed the advice of your mentors and applied.
Yeah.
UC San Diego is incredibly proud of you, Liz.
Thank you. And
just the amazing work that you're doing. And I think it's really well aligned with what I hear from a lot of incoming scholars when I ask them the question, you know, why do you want to go to university?
Right.
And consistently it's to help my family, to help my community, and to help myself.
Right.
So you're an excellent, brilliant example of that coming to life. I'm wondering, you know, UC San Diego is a rigorous institution, but it can be fun too, right? So I'm sure there was some fun times that you had here. Anything come to mind that you might want to share?
Yeah, I mean, so many memories. And I will say that my best friends all are still, you know, they're UC San Diego friends. I think, you know, coming here, really connecting with my network, and really felt like, I think because it was such a rigorous, we all went through things together. So, you know, we bonded over, you know, basically sleeping at Geisel, you know, for preparing for our midterms and our finals. And those are my new family and friends I'll have for life. So I still, you know, they're still supporting me now in my career. But I think my fondest memory has to be my Raza graduation. That to me, it was so wonderful to be able to have, you know, an intimate ceremony where, you know, I was able to go on stage and thank my family and have dinner with my family and see my friends, you know, also and meet them. Their families. And so that to me was just such a beautiful moment where everything kind of came together, right? You know, all the hard work, all the struggles, all the tears, right?
Mm-hmm.
It came together and it was just so wonderful. And, you know, I was proud of myself, but I was proud of my colleagues and my friends. And to be able to share that joy with my family and theirs was just such a beautiful moment. And that forever is engraved in me.
And I bet it was amazing to see your dad in the audience.
Yes.
He probably had tears in his eyes, if I'm guessing.
Yes.
So, Liz, I'm wondering, what advice would you give to any young scholar who's contemplating going to university, coming to UC San Diego?
Yeah. I mean, I will say, don't give up. You're brilliant. You're worthy. You're here for a reason. Believe in yourself more than anything and know that you're not alone, right? So like I, you know, talked about mentorship, reach out to folks. Folks want to see you succeed. And so don't be afraid. The worst thing people could say is no, and that's okay. Brush it off and ask the next person, right? And so, so I really just want to say, you know, don't give up. We've all been through it. We've all struggled. But at the end of the day, you know, we need more leaders in San Diego County and beyond. We need them. And so reach out for support. Reach out for mentorship. I'm here. You all can find me through, you know, Triton Connect. And I'd love to be of support.
And our alumni do have a mentorship program. So if there's somebody who is currently at UC San Diego, they can find you.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today,
Liz. Thank you so much for having me.
Acabas de escuchar un podcast de la televisión de la Universidad de California. Para más información sobre este programa o sobre UCTV, visítanos en línea en uctv.tv.